Hill Reel 9.
So I really got interested in that. In fact, I wrote a book. I say with shame that the Studio Vista took up, called Basic Anatomy.
Yes.
But it came to my aid there in a way. And I really felt, of course, in the end, that it did a service, because you were teaching the student exactly what did happen. I had to anatomize the plaster cast of, say, the Laocoon or the slave, the dying gladiator, or one of those, and I had to put in the whole skeleton. But here, with the live model, and I did full-sized demonstrations on a huge board they had in one of the classrooms, and I could show how one thing moved with another, so that you couldn't... All the muscles here replied here, otherwise you couldn't do that.
Yes.
They didn't end there, they end there, so they're terminal there, and same with right down to the fingers.
Yes.
And so it all grew out of this. And I started this vogue, which they'd never heard of, starting drawing the figure from the pelvic girdle. And I said, if you've got that right,
yes,
then you can put that and that and whatever.
Yes.
Don't start with the head. You can put the head on last if you want, because it doesn't matter, you can do this, and you can do all that, but it doesn't alter the figure.
Yes.
But if you do this, then all the figure goes with the head.
Yes.
So that was my contribution, or so-called. It was fun, really fun, that. And I believed that I got the dread of anatomy out of their heads.
One other thing I'd like to ask you about, Adrian, is about how you think artists are represented in exhibiting societies and museums, both in the War Museum's collection. Of course, we've got rather little space. It's a disadvantage to us not to be able to show more of our pictures. But it's something which has been rather a question mark in the 20th century in Britain.
Yeah. Well, Joseph, I don't know quite how to answer that. That's a really difficult one, because I'm thinking, first of all, of the general public, of where to go to see, whether it's wise to keep up to date with the many one-man shows that are always being advertised and generally written up if there's something peculiar about them, and going to our national galleries and seeing what it's all come from. I feel in the Imperial War Museum, you've got to call it a museum. But when somebody said to me, I've never been to that museum in Trafalgar Square, and I said, well, nor would I if it was a museum. It is an art gallery. And if you're interested in pictures and you want to know really what it's all about, or where it's come from, or where we ought to sometimes go back and have a look at it, the National Gallery, the Tate Gallery, the Wallace Collection, the Dulwich Collection, and you'll see all sorts of very, very sincere efforts, not competitive, and there appears to be no sort of rat race about it. They're the best examples, we must admit, from a great number that were being painted at that time that have fallen by the way. But there they are, and they don't seem to lose anything. You can call them old-fashioned if you like. But when I went to the Turner exhibition a little while ago, and I'm determined to go again, of course, I was staggered by the modernity, if you like, of Turner's outlook towards the end of his life. He seemed to suddenly become a young painter with terrific courage and urge and verve. And that made me think, well, there we are. We can always go back to the master who's been dead so many years now. With regard to the student who's becoming or has become a professional painter, here I'm in rather a difficult position, because I have cut down a lot, but I did belong at one time to a number of Royal Societies, because I think, and I hope I'm not giving the thing away too much, as I was teaching, the more letters you had after the name, the more you were in demand. And so I said, by the time I was RBA, RI, and ROI, and SGA, and God knows what, I was all right for a teaching job. And I said, I can say in the same breath, and with even more sincerity, they don't mean a hoot now, really. They're an incubus round your neck, in a way. What you really want to do, if you want to show, and you do what you've created, you want to communicate. That's the first thing that an artist has got to remember. And if he can communicate, whatever it is, he's there. Then I should say that you've got to risk having a one-man show, which is an expensive matter, or can be. But it does pay a dividend, because if it's advertised well, if you've got a person who's running it who believes in your stuff, he can... Or you can say, this is where I broke through. But I said, there are many, many cases where the exhibition has not caught on, and you say, well, I'm £200 or £300 out of pocket. Oh, yes, you can be. By the time you've paid for your canvas and your framing, and those bills are formidable, and then you must remember that, and they're very useful, they're essential. They're indispensable, and that is the art dealer. He will take his 33 and a third, or his 40, or his 50. And by the time that you notch up all the things that you've paid for, plus the experience and your training, there doesn't seem to be much plunder in it for you. On the other hand, I've got to leave it in this way. There are exhibitions, there are galleries. I can mention one anyhow called the Mall Gallery, where there's a show on by some society or another every week or fortnight of the year. There's always a show on. There you will see a mixed bunch, always. Although they may be, say, the Royal Institute of Oil Painters, that is, they're all painting oils in one medium, and they have been elected from members of that society, so you can pretty much imagine what you're going to see in the middle of the road. I said, you can go to the Royal Society of British Artists, where you may see something quite different in one of the rooms you've seen anywhere else. And I won't go on, because I'll be on dangerous ground, but some of the more modern societies, where you'll have to walk gingerly because some of the exhibits may be on the floor, and so on. But as long as you are interested in seeing the way art is going, as long as you're not going to get hot under the collar because you think everybody's going mad, the more you see of this, the more you'll feel that life is enriched by it, and that England is a forerunner in very lively directions in arts, in sculpture and in painting and in engraving. There's a great vitality. And I said to somebody the other day, to me, words take on another meaning. And to be a vital painter, to be a vital writer, to be a vital talker, you become really vital. You begin to be somebody who is alive. And that, every now and again, is the reason, come what may, you say, I must have that picture. It means something to me. I've got something in my room which stirs me, which it's so evocative. So I would say, Joseph, that art can baffle one. It can disturb one. It disturbs a lot of us sometimes. But when we look back and realize that even the Impressionists, dear old fuddy-duddies, were howled down, we must contain ourselves. Don't get too worked up about it, because we'll be thinking then of how we slew the so-and-sos, and what's coming to us. It is our desire, we're designing it. This generation wants it this way, and will get it this way. And if we want to opt out, well, we they don't mind if we do. They'll go on. So I'm preaching, perhaps some of my more intimate friends would say, oh, you're a bit of a humbug. You know, you do dislike this sort of painting so much. I said, I dislike it if it's done, I think, intentionally to shock, intentionally to be with it, intentionally to be trendy in this way. And I said, there's nothing to me worse than that a man who is aping something to be with it. I don't like that kind of painting.
No, it's a hypocritical attitude.
Yes, I think so. And on the other hand, I think that a person who is going to be trendy because he feels he ought to, say at my age, is a mockery. And yes. I say, he makes an awful mess of it. And the people who said, oh, so-and-so doing it. I said, if I did work or tried to do it, or imitated my own son's work, well, it would be laughable, and it wouldn't be true to me.
No, quite. Certainly, one of the difficulties for younger artists is that if they have exhibitions in one-man galleries, then it is hazardous, isn't it? I believe there are 200 art galleries in London, and
I
get even 150 invitations a year to exhibitions. I know I'm not going to go to most of them, so that the chances of their work being seen are that much slighter, really.
Yes.
Which is sad. You know, perhaps in, say, 1920, it was an easier, or things were closer knit. It would be easier for an artist to have his work known in the people who are likely to buy it.
It wasn't such a universal sort of urge to paint as there is now. And with it, of course, the urge to sell. And I said the devices which these galleries get up to by having a private-private view. There's the private view, but the really private-private view is the night before, in which every sort of drink is handed round, and the thing is done beautifully, and all the chaps are there, and by the time it's gone through the private view to when the public are admitted, if it's a success, every picture has a star on it.
Yes.
I don't know how one can get over that, because it is an adventure to have a one-man show. It can be a breaking point of you've broken through. I haven't actually experienced it myself. I've had shows. I've had plenty of one-man shows. But they've all been what I think is reasonably successful. I haven't had anybody say, or overheard them say, or imagined that I've heard them say, you must go along and see Hill's new show. But I still feel that it is the ideal to say, this is what I'm at. Yes. Now you can see the trends. This is my last 6 months or a year.
Yes.
And you can say, yes. Where if you show, say, at the Academy, or one of these shows that I've implied, I've mentioned all of them by name, you have a chance of showing three or four pictures. You may get the four in, and you go to see where they are. And you say, there's one up there, and, oh, Lord, I did say, yes, oh, yeah, I've seen one of yours. It's over there, right down there. And you say, is that doing one any good? And you may see it between two pictures which are hammering it to death or out shouting it out, you know.
Yes.
There you are. It's your choice. I know that the... I can say this quite faithfully because I feel that somebody prompted me to say it, that we, and I do belong to two or three societies still, do want the new painter. We don't want him to feel, oh, I will be then associated with this kind of thing. It is a chance of showing your picture. And on selecting committees, I do think we do try and take it seriously. If you're sending, say, to a society, say, like the RBA, do remember not to say, I'll send four pictures of four different styles, because one style will get me in, because I can let you into a secret which may help you. The people who are applying for membership, their pictures come up together.
Yes.
And if you see a trend that go through. So I like the way he treats this. You say he didn't do the one in the middle, did he? Oh, hell no, we don't want to jump. He doesn't know where he's going.
Yes, quite.
Bear that in mind.
Yes, yes. But it's been very kind of you to talk to me for so long on so many different topics.
So clever of you to keep me going, Joseph.
I'm really most grateful to you, and thank you very much indeed, Adrian.
Well, Joseph, thank you so much for making me feel that what we've been talking about has been worthwhile.